Thank you. Time moves slowly. I was like, I don't know. Like, I like the idea of playing.
You don't have to play
short.
Long
okay. Yeah.
Please. Okay. I don't want you to feel like you need to extend it. I mean,
I guess I just feel like from an audience perspective, it's nice to give them. Like, I don't want to be a tease as
right.
a performer, essentially. But I also like. I'm like a very. Usually, I'm a very like. Short. Spoken type of person, and I feel like that comes out in my playing. It's just like, well, I played it, so like, isn't that like,
right?
I don't want to like.
Well, I see what you mean. You're like, people come and see you, and like, and then additionally, if they pay money to do it, you know, you're like, you play 7 minutes. It's like, but if you play 3 7-minute songs or whatever.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I'm at. Like,
so, I mean,
either like 3 7-minute song or like. However many like 3 minute things or
right.
something.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. I'm fine with how you want to do it.
Okay.
And
cool.
And how we can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. What's do you fun? Like this environment for space? It sounds great because I have it panned, so I have the room mic in one ear and the
oh, shit. Yeah.
amp in the other ear.
Cool.
It's, there's definitely a distinction between both of them and interplay. So
awesome. Yeah, I'm way into that. Because it's funny, because it's just like a logistical thing. Like, I started playing into an amp because, like, a lot of the stuff that I do is quiet. But then it's like I'm playing into an amp, which means, like, my sound can either come from here or here.
Right.
So why don't I interact with that kind of thing?
I knew it was there. I just hadn't caught it until I started to listen to it right now. I'm like, wow. Like,
cool.
Yeah,
cool.
It really comes off. Especially when you have the ability for your headphones to pan it.
Yeah. And I've recently started doing this like reverb thing of like the reverb knob is right here and I can jam it 100 to 0 like pretty quickly.
Right.
So I've been trying to do like some tricks with that because
that's great.
It like spatializes the sound in a way.
Do you ever
play
with the tone on the amp at all, or do you?
Yeah, a little bit. I actually did a little bit just now, like cranking the bass and jamming down the treble just to like.
Yeah.
Because it's I don't know, like it kind of feels like. It's not like, it's weird because it's not exactly like, I think a lot of like the tradition of like trumpet and stuff like that would be like, oh, he's just like playing with his amp or something.
Right.
It's like, I'm playing through an amp, so why don't I play with my amp?
It's another instrument.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
If it's there, like, if I ignore it, I'm just like being ignorant or being stupid.
Yeah,
or intentional.
You're leaving something off the
yeah.
table that is, it's,
yeah.
makes sense. Like.
yeah.
This is in the choice of the amp can become important, or the choice of the mic that goes in the amp. Or like, I think that's a really good.
Yeah, I've actually just been thinking about that recently, because all of this stuff is like, this is an amp that I had because I play guitar. This is a pedal that I had because I play guitar. I bought the mic and stuff like that, like specifically for this. But I've recently started to think about, well, like, should I get like some sort of preamp to like boost my mic signal? Should I do all these things to like try to like be as respectful as I can of what I'm doing or something? I don't know.
I mean, it's kind of like this appears to be a keyboard amp mostly.
Yeah, the reason why I got it is because they're like traditionally like a straight ahead jazz guitar amp, which is what I was like trying to accomplish with it at the time. But
having the ability to have that preamp out of it, you know, and like you know, like to be able to record with it, but then have it's like a sessioning amp.
Right?
Know?
Yeah. I honestly don't really get too into it other than, you know, turning knobs while I'm frantically
Sounds good. Another go and
another
in
here.
Yeah, cool. I think it's
For sure.
Take a breather.
Yeah, that sounds good.
We were recording that talk, so.
Thank you. Thank you. Garrett Hickman has just played trumpet, spit all over everything in my house.
Yes.
Tell me about yourself. Where did you learn to play trumpet? What's your goal with a solo trumpet, which is, seems really ambitious?
Cool.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. Yeah.
How do you see what do you see your what are you gonna do with yourself? What's your future forward? Spill the beans.
Cool. Yeah.
Lay it all out.
I'll spill all of the beans. Where did I learn to play the trumpet? Trumpet has been it's kind of a recent thing for me. I've had cool friends that have helped me out. Getting Skype lessons from my friend Brad from Idaho and just random things. A lot of just me and the horn and experimenting and whatever.
Because it is a pretty physical instrument. I mean, it's like...
Yeah, yeah.
You interact with it more so... I mean, I feel like more so than a guitar or like a...
Yeah. It's on your face.
Or a string, you know? Yeah. It's like your whole body, your face, your lips control it, your breath moves it.
Right, yeah. And a lot of, like, the way that I play or the things that I've been interested in recently have been the things that, like, focus on those elements of it, too. So, yeah. I don't know. Probably, like, the truest story about me and the horn was I've been, like, enthralled by trumpet music for a long time and just kind of hit a point where I was like, oh, maybe I should try doing that, too. Or something, and started doing that. Did that for a while. A lot of just practicing, random times, random places, stuff like that. And it's kind of all of that is kind of like built up, turned into an aggregate of what's happening right now. So yeah, I don't know. It was really more just a thing of like, I really like this music that's made by these people and they're playing a trumpet to do it. And, it just seemed like a cool thing to give it a shot. And so I gave it a shot for a while and now we're in the present where I've been giving it a shot for however much time.
And how do you see the interaction with you, the trumpet and the amp?
Okay, cool. Yeah. The amp, that's kind of in,
because you'll hear it in those recordings. There's an element of electronic tomfoolery or manipulation, but that, you know, not as far as a pedal per se, but or there is a pedal, but it's more of an on and off or like a tasteful way to control volume. But
the amp is pretty incidental in a lot of ways, but has become probably more than that, especially like in this context from what we just recorded and stuff. Where I realized a lot of the stuff that I was doing could benefit from being like amplified in the sense of like made louder. And I mean, I had a guitar amp because I do some guitar stuff too. That's the instrument that I've spent most time with in my life. And so it was kind of a matter of seeing other people having done very similar things and going, okay, I want to give that a shot. Like, I did a few solo trumpet things without an amplifier. I didn't own one, I didn't own a mic or the right gear and stuff. And it just seemed like the next thing. So grab a mic, grab a mic stand, grab the things to stick it into my amp, do that.
It's that cable that always trips people up. Going from a mic cable to a guitar amp.
Yeah, and I actually like
XLR to quarter inch. It's like, you have to have that.
Yeah, know, and... I mean, I don't know a lot about gear, and it was actually, like, I had this moment where I was like, does that actually work, you know?
No.
And I found out that it does, and yeah.
Certain mics it does. Other mics need certain things, you know, fan power or gain or whatever, but that's, it does work.
But, so kind of the place that we're in right now or that I'm in with this whole setup is that I've kind of, you know, I have the mic, I have it going through a very simple pedal and then into my amplifier. And at that point, like, all of these things are like givens. So then I say, like, I can't like just ignore the amp or something. So there's like a little bit of like, like tomfoolery trickery of like, oh, I have a reverb knob and it's like right there. So if I'm not twisting it, like I'm just ignoring something that I could be doing, or like these, you know, tone knobs and stuff like that. So that becomes a little bit integrated into things. And I don't know.
It works really well. I mean,
cool.
Personally, so I mean,
cool.
I don't know. As one observer.
Cool. Thanks. I enjoy it too. And that's the reason why I do it. It's just like, this is a thing. I can do it. If I'm not doing it, I'm ignoring something that's an option. So why not add more?
It feels really organic. It could get way more absurd with like delay pedals and overdrives and things. But you haven't needed to go to that step. And I feel like,
yeah,
it's always impressive to see someone who does so much with the basics, which just sounds really stupid because it's like that's what everyone's done in the past
for a
long time. I mean, people have done so much with an instrument and, you know, and like.
Yeah.
No, and that's where a lot of the grounds of that free side of it came from, is just playing that instrument, like playing a guitar like it's not a guitar, or playing a trumpet like it's a.
Yeah,
box that you blow wind through and you push these buttons on it, you know,
yeah,
and you amplify the button noise and you hit the bell of the thing against stuff, or I don't know, it's like
I mean, you're like, I definitely agree, and I guess like I have been lucky enough to be in a position where I liked a lot of music. I liked a lot of that music that I liked was like noise music. And so I developed, for me, like my perspective on and tastes on like sound and stuff like that, and constructing sound and composing in sounds. And from there, it was kind of like, oh, well, here's a trumpet. Oh, that makes a lot of interesting sounds depending on how I interact with it. So let's do that. And it's fun too, because I feel like I'm kind of on this cusp of like, I'm obviously not playing only acoustically, like that's a thing, and it's not exactly what I'm doing. And I'm also not only, it's not like a pedal, heavy kind of thing, which is also another thing and very cool, but not exactly what I'm doing. So it's fun, 'cause I feel like I'm kind of like riding this like very fine line between the two.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's where I am right now.
And how do you feel about the collaborations you've been doing with other people? I mean, like the Ted Burns collaboration and your Leslie Patrice.
Yeah, Patrice Leslie. With Ted, I'll talk about that for a second. Ted is, I was thinking about this actually while I was traveling over here. I feel like Ted is probably my favorite person to play with right now, and I think the reason why that is right now, kind of my perspective on improvised music, you know, the kind of very free improvised music that I do, I just really love trying to play the most interesting, best, whatever, like the most something, like the raddest thing that I possibly can, and then just trusting and hoping that the other person or people that I'm playing with are doing the same thing. And then as an added layer to that, there's the fact that we're doing it together, and therefore we can be interacting in all of these interesting ways and doing the raddest things together, opposing each other, all that, you know, there's so many different like intersections of the way that works. So the reason why that's like really relevant to Ted is because I feel like he's a person who does that. Like he won't do anything else. Like Ted will just play the coolest thing.
But I mean, that's an element. That's an element of listening too. He's reacting to the. Yeah. I mean, I see what you mean. He hears what the other person's doing and he figures out the most awesome thing to either accentuate to it or counterpoint it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess like maybe, and maybe I'm like, falling too far on one side of like the articulation of this kind of concept, but like what I really love is the
awesome
fact that
side
he'll,
of it.
Yeah, that he'll just like, if I play with him,
I mean,
and
Ted's cool
and
all, but
I guess all it is like, I know if I were to play like something that sucked, Ted's going to play something that's awesome. And so that just, that liberates me to be like, well, he's going to do something awesome, so why don't I do something awesome too?
Okay.
And I want to be that
person. I didn't realize that was a choice. I thought it was just an ability thing. Or I think it's cool. Like it's nice that you can, nice that you can depend on somebody to back you up if you, I mean, not flub something, but if you you play something that maybe isn't the coolest thing, but like they can play something that accentuates it and makes it sound cooler, that's good. And then you can pick up a slack later. Yeah. Or
so I guess all it is like I imagine that Ted and I like together are creating like this feedback loop of rad sound.
Like the sum is greater than the sum of the parts, or the whole is greater than the sum of the parts.
Yeah, like he does something, I do something, they're both awesome, they combine, and it just adds more incentive to try to do something even better, is the way that I feel when I play with him. So, yeah.
And then Patrice Leslie?
Cool, yeah. Patrice Leslie is kind of a funny thing. It's built into a lot of, like, random things that we're building, especially over last fall. Like,
what's the name from?
So the name... I'm going to tell a long story and try to tell it in a short way, which is something that I do a lot and I'm not good at it. So
okay.
we're geared in for this. I like invented this weird, like kind of cult, like that was, it's like an imaginary cult that has all of this weird mythology built in.
This sounds awesome.
I'm going to do it a disservice by explaining it this way, but that's okay. I mean, and
you can just leave it at that and just be like, Patrice Leslie is.
So Patrice Leslie was one of several characters that were built. And I think Patrice was one of the people who was credited with being a founder or a wealthy backer to this cult / art collective / political organization.
Oh boy, that sounds great.
So, I mean, it's mostly like. Just for kicks, you know.
Does everyone who plays in this band know the backstory?
I don't know. They might because they're my buds and we've talked about funny stuff before, you know.
Uh-huh.
But so the name, man, yeah. This, like I said, long story. Trying to tell it shortly, not doing it. the name was just like, I was looking for names that I found interesting and also names that weren't like directly connected to a gender and like gender binaries and all of that baggage. Patrice, there's like Patrice Russian is like this rad, like R&B singer. And then there's like Patrice O'Neill, right? Who's like this weird, comedian, like. Pretty offensive comedian, actually. I don't know. Okay, I'm talking like
beyond
what I know at this point. But so
you're right. Patrice does not. It conjures a feminine side, but
right, yeah. Which I kind of wanted to err on the feminine side.
I thought it was a solo folk singer when I saw it advertised on the.
Yeah, and that's. I mean, that's another like. It's kind of funny to see like. It's a name, but then it turns out to be a band or a project or whatever it is. So, it's just fun stuff to interact. If I'm going to have a band, why not have a weird name or something?
So it's a band. So it's an ensemble.
Yeah, yeah.
And you were explaining that it's pretty fluid in its composition?
Right. Right. So far, it kind of... has avoided defining itself. The first time I performed connected to that, it was just me and one other friend singing. I did some trumpet and some guitar. He did a lot of guitar. He's a very good guitar player. Jake Zucker is his name. Jake's been involved in the other iterations. There's been two other performances where my friend Orsine, she played upright bass, Jake Zucker again, electric guitar, and Paul Carter has played drums with us. We added Logan Hone playing electric saxophone on the next time. And then last night when we performed, unfortunately, nobody except Logan was able to make it to that. We were able to pull together a different crew. This was Stefan Kak on tuba, Ben Levinson on electric bass, myself again, and Logan Hone playing baritone guitar, actually, and...
my new roommate, Joe, I don't know Joe's last name, that's unfortunate, playing English horn.
Whoa.
So that was like a wild instrumentation.
Yeah, and that allows that to expand from there, which is always great. I mean, then the old people come back and a couple of the new people play,
right,
and it just expands.
Yeah, and it's really fun for me to have access to that. Because I...
Do you feel the basis is, though, that it is music that you sing to in...
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's... So
that's kind of...
It's music, it's loosely orchestrated, and then also focused music.
Yeah,
it's... Sing over.
It's kind of the consistent factors so far have been I'm singing. That's probably the most consistent thing. There's a lot of free improvisation, and there's been a little bit of like performance arty things too, where I rant about like hypercapitalism or something. And yeah, there are consistent things. One of the ways somebody was asking me about it, and what I said was it's kind of like a receptacle for my like constantly changing like musical interests and stuff. Like we've covered a lot of songs that I've like just heard on the radio and thought,
oh, that's
rad.
Cool.
So like we've covered
topical.
Yeah. Like I listen to a lot of, soul and R&B radio. So we've covered like I'm Every Woman, the like Whitney Houston song. Like that's been a constant cover. What else? Last night was, It Never Rains in Southern California, which is a Tony thing. Right.
Yes,
pretty topical for Southern California. And what else have we done? We did What's Love Got to Do with It, nice. Which is, who is that? I can't remember at this point.
Tina Turner.
Yeah. So I don't, it's funny. It's fun to do that because people hear the song and it's in this context of like people are freely improvising. It's super weird.
Right.
And then they hear that song and it just like adds like another element of like, oh, this is fun. Like I'm enjoying this kind of a thing, which is maybe the truest story about that band, is just like a lot trying to give people a lot of things to interact with in a small space of time.
True.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to nail it down, but.
Oh, no. Yeah.
I wanted to come here.
Cool.
And to have an iteration here. That'd be fun.
Oh, yeah.
I think.
We would love that. Yeah. Whoever we are.
Whoever we are. So you guys are going on going on tour?
Yeah.
Coming up? What's that going to be like?
Yeah, that's kind of the next thing for me.
I feel like it's pretty easy just to take a trumpet and tour. Or I mean, you have to take an amp too.
Yeah, it's such a huge luxury. Like, like you're saying, I'm just taking a trumpet. I'm taking an amp. It's very small, very compact. Jake Rosenzweig is the person who I'm touring with. We're each independently going to be doing solo sets, so kind of like what I did here today.
Are you gonna play together too, or
I don't think we'll end up playing together at all. I don't know, but I don't think so.
Interesting.
Jake is gonna be doing solo upright bass, and yeah, I think the vibe of what's gonna happen is gonna be pretty similar to what happened here today. That's part of why I wanted to do like the solo trumpet thing here with you today. Was it's kind of like, okay, I'm gonna go on this tour, like this would be a good way to like prime my own pump.
Yeah.
In whatever way that metaphor is being used right now. Yeah. I don't know what I meant by that, to be honest. Probably means something though. So yeah, we're gonna tour from here, LA, to Seattle and back, stopping in the Bay, Portland, Olympia, Sacramento.
San Luis Obispo, Santa Barbara, you got any of those? All the close to home stuff's really
good.
Yeah,
we jumped to the Bay both times going up and back.
Wow. Okay.
So, yeah, that's just the...
Oakland?
San Francisco on the way up and Oakland on the way back.
Nice. All right.
Which I'm really looking forward to, because I got to go out to the Bay early last year and visit like Mills College. There's a lot of cool stuff surrounding
that. Yeah, Mills is okay. That's cool.
Right.
If you like groundbreaking electronic.
If you like the best thing ever.
Cool stuff.
Yeah. So I made a few connections that I'm hoping I'm going to like get in touch with a few people and maybe see if we could reconnect.
Connect.
Right? Yeah.
That's good. Get some.
Do some
get your fan base going.
Oh, my fan base. Yeah.
Wow. Is that? Yeah. No, hell yeah.
maybe I shouldn't laugh about stuff like that. People won't come to my shows if I laugh about having a family.
Yeah, they'll respect you more.
I hope so.
I think everyone should go to his shows and see him. I think it'd be better if they all played together, but that's fine. You guys don't like each other, is that a thing?
I don't know. Did we not discuss it?
Bass and trumpet. I don't know. That could be.
I think it would be great. I would like that a lot. I think maybe what it was just like the aspect of booking.
Right.
Like it's easier to write an
email.
You need to say,
hey, like we want to have most of the stuff playing be touring acts is always rough. You're like, okay, how about just two touring acts and two local bands?
Yeah.
Or one ensemble that's local.
Yeah. And just like sitting down to write an email that's just like, he's going to play solo bass, I'm going to play solo trumpet. There's a period after that. That's like very streamlined, as opposed to like, oh, I do all this stuff and like Patrice
Wesley.
Then
we're
going to
play a group set.
And Jake and me. And maybe we'll do that, but maybe we won't. Like nobody, I wouldn't want to get that email and book that.
No, that's true. It's a good way to think about it.
But maybe I'm like a little bit curmudgeonly or something about that stuff. I don't know. Yeah.
I've seen plenty of emails like it. That's why I was suggested. Yeah. But now I think about it, I'm like, it makes way more sense to just be like, this is this, bam.
Yeah, and it's also the first time I've ever even attempted to tour or something.
Cool.
So I'm just kind of like Jake's done this stuff, and he's been great about like kind of telling me what his experience has been.
As long as you have a nice car and you budget appropriately,
right,
and nobody loses their shit, you're fine.
Yeah, and so that's kind of where I'm at is like, I have no idea what this is gonna be like. I think it's gonna be fun.
Yeah.
And I think I'm going to be able to do some cool music. And other than that, I'll just like trust whoever is like telling me about their experience, and I'll just do what they say.
Yeah.
Because
find places to sleep.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
don't take anything from anybody that you don't know what it is.
Right.
Don't get roofied or.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Unless I want to get roofied.
The roofie tour.
Yeah. Unless that's the intention, which it's not, by the way. I don't know. Maybe it'll change.
I wish you luck.
Thank you.
Thank you for playing Born on a Train.
Thank you.
We're done, I think.
Thank you very much.
Anything else you want to add?
I don't know.
Garrett Hickman, everybody. Thank you. Episode 5. Pew.